NBC.
Your friends.
In respect to this resolution, there's one good reason why we should not adopt it. And that has already been alluded to by the senator from Harnett. That is that we don't know where we're going. In the committee, when this matter came up, I cast one vote against the resolution. And at that time, the senator from Harnett and I had some discussion about the history of the Constitution. And I don't believe that at that time he believed the statements that I made, or at least he had some doubt. If he has any further doubt, I've got the books here this morning that he's welcome to look at. In that respect, let me call your attention to some of the words of the resolution. It says that what we're doing is importuning Congress to call a convention for the sole purpose of proposing an amendment in the singular to the United States Constitution, which would provide, and so on. I want to call your attention to the only other convention that ever met, and to the resolutions that accompanied the delegates to that convention. In 1787, after the Articles of Confederation had been in for a few years, many of the states decided that they ought to get a group together, and so they met in Maryland at Annapolis. This was an ad hoc committee, and that committee decided they ought to try to do something about the Articles of Confederation. Congress was then in session in the city of New York, and they paid little attention to the Annapolis Convention. But there was so much hue and cry that eventually they did pass a resolution to hold a convention. And they issued letters to the delegates. And if you will please forgive me, I'd like to read very shortly here what they said. Resolved that in the opinion of Congress, it is expedient that on the second Monday of May next, a convention of delegates who shall have been appointed by the several states be held at Philadelphia for the sole and express purpose of revising the Articles of Confederation and reporting to Congress and the several legislatures with alterations and provisions therein, as shall, when agreed to in Congress and confirmed by the states, render the federal Constitution adequate to the exigencies of government and the preservation of the Union. Now, you know and I know that the greatest men in American history were present at that convention. You know and I know that none of us would attack them here as dishonest men or devious men, or would say that they had ever done anything that was wrongful. Most of us would probably be insulted if anyone should ever suggest that George Washington lied. Well, I'm not the one to stand up here and suggest to you that he did, nor that these good men who were delegates in any way were devious, or that they went outside their power and authority. But I would like to call to your attention one of the favorite books of the senator from Harnett, The Federalist, and specifically number 40 of that book, and read to you what those who advocated the Constitution admitted regarding that commission and the sole purpose for which they met. I read from number 40 of The Federalist. In one particular, it is admitted that the convention have departed from the tenor of their commission. Instead of reporting a plan requiring the confirmation of the legislatures of all the states, they have reported a plan which is to be confirmed by the people and may be carried into effect by 9 states only. The original Articles of Confederation provided that it took 13 states, a unanimous vote, before any article of that Constitution could be amended. Now today we're told, well, we can veto anything a constitutional convention could do because our present Constitution provides that we must have a vote of 3/4 of the states before an amendment can go into effect. They tell us that. And yet what happened in 1787 when the Articles of Confederation provided that there must be a unanimous vote before any change in that instrument could go into effect? So what do you have? You have this, that if you had a convention and it were called, they could vote there as to how many states our state conventions it would take to amend this Constitution. In short, if they cared to do so, they could say 26 state legislatures or 26 state conventions, a bare majority, may adopt any change in this Constitution. They could do like the Founding Fathers did, who took the Articles of Confederation and threw them out of the window when their sole and only authority was to revise them. A convention called at this time could, if it cared to do so, throw the Constitution of the United States and all of its amendments out the window and rewrite it. And let me remind you of two more things. And then, Mr. President, I'm finished, and this body can vote as it wishes. Two matters. One is that I am convinced that if today the American people should vote, every one of them, on this question, shall we or shall we not retain the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, I am convinced beyond doubt that the American people would write that out of the Constitution. I am convinced because of this, because of the publicity that we've seen on television in years past by some of these United States Senate investigating committees of criminals brought before television and being asked questions, and they pleaded the Fifth Amendment. And all over this country, housewives and high school students and farmers and merchants and, yes, lawyers said, well, we shouldn't even have that Fifth Amendment if they're going to hide behind it. We are now almost 200 years away from the Revolution, and we do not recall the terrors that were before that Fifth Amendment was adopted. There are very few outside the field of political science, some lawyers, who really appreciate the Fifth Amendment as it should be appreciated. Now, I think that once they voted it out, in a couple of years they'd be voting it back in. But I don't want to live during a couple of years when the Fifth Amendment is not in. In addition to that, in Article 5 of the United States Constitution, it provides that amendments may be made, except that no state shall, by amendment, be deprived of its equal suffrage in the United States Senate. That is, two senators from each state. But what is it that would keep a convention from changing that? Do you want today to lose your representation in the United States Senate, the only place that you really have any representation? And a constitutional convention could do it. I say to you that there's no real need for this resolution, and that if the senator from Scotland really believes in one man, one vote, then we ought to reapportion the House today. I say to you that though I will not debate whether